This podcast is brought to you by the Baton Rouge Area Foundation, your community foundation, which is focused on one simple goal: to help philanthropists pursue their causes for bettering the lives of people in Louisiana. Welcome to the pod. I'm your host, Chris Meyer, and today we've invited Lynn Clark, the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity of Greater Baton Rouge, and the recipient of the 2022 John W. Barton Sr. Excellence in Nonprofit Management Award by the Baton Rouge Area Foundation. Under Lynn's leadership, the Habitat chapter in Baton Rouge has experienced exponential growth, having completed over 250 homes in the last 16 years. They also tripled the housing inventory they completed since Hurricane Katrina. Keep listening to learn more about the work of Habitat for Humanity of Greater Baton Rouge. Lynn, welcome to the pod.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Now, you have been with Habitat for Humanity for nearly two decades. Why is that your calling?
Well, I think we all learned from hurricanes, from the flood, from the pandemic, how important it is to have a safe place to live. And so every day I get to work with incredible people who have set home ownership as their goal. And so it's just an honor for me to be able to walk that journey with them, and a thrill when they finally sign that mortgage and get the keys to their new house. So every time I work with a new family, a new homeowner, I just get reinvigorated every time.
So talk to us about the typical project for Habitat for Humanity. How does one work?
Well, we don't build homes on spec. We have our homeowners selected and qualified before we ever start a home. And to qualify for a Habitat home, it takes four things. You have to meet our income requirements, and that's to be below 80% of median family income for the area where we're building. You have to have housing need, and that could be the facility itself that you're living in is in great need of repair. It could be you don't have a home of your own, you're moving from family to friend, or it could be you're cost burdened and you're paying too much of your income towards housing, and that's what we find a lot of now. And then you also have to have enough income to repay the loan, because the biggest misconception about Habitat is that we give houses away. We do not. We sell them, but we sell them at an affordable 0% interest mortgage, because we truly believe that people want to help themselves. And so we know in this country the best way to gain wealth is through owning property. And so we're having a whole generation of people who before could not, you know, gain that wealth, can now do that by owning a Habitat home. And then the fourth thing that makes us truly unique is that we ask people to partner with us. And that means working sweat equity, building their house and other Habitat homes, as well as attending financial literacy classes, one-on-one budgeting sessions, and also home maintenance classes. We say we don't just build homes, we build homeowners, because we want them to be successful after they purchase the home.
That's incredible. You mentioned one of these criteria is need, and appreciated the way you phrased that those that really are kind of living on this borderline of potentially, you know, one slip, one incident away from being in a really financial crisis. Why is that important as one of those focal issues for you?
Well, because if they have above 80% income, they typically can purchase a home from some other source, either a bank that offers loans for low-wealth folks. But below 80%, Habitat is really the only one who's offering a mortgage for people in that income. And it's because we are the bank. We hold the mortgages. We don't look at credit scores, because oftentimes our families don't have credit, so they have no credit score. But we do look at bad debt, which is epidemic in our country. So we set a cap of $1,000 of bad debt, because while they're in the program working on their sweat equity and their financial requirements, they can pay down that bad debt. So when they close on the home, they're at zero bad debt.
Now, you'll have done over 250 houses since really your time, give or take. Talk to us about how those homeowners have done. Have you all kept track of them, and what are some of the success stories?
Right. Definitely we keep track, because most of our homeowners will come into the office to pay their payment, because they do have to pay a monthly payment, which is their principal, their insurance, and their property taxes. No interest, remember. And so they'll come in, and we get to keep up with them. And, you know, they are signing a mortgage just like any other person with any other bank. So it's a legal document committing them to pay that mortgage off. So we have had to foreclose on some of the homes, because we can't expect one person who's struggling to make their home payment a priority and not another. But if we have to foreclose on you, you have really screwed up and have not taken advantage of the opportunities, because we offer multiple payment plans, and we work with them as best we can, and to the point where we decide that not everyone is cut out to be a homeowner.
But the vast majority have seen success.
Oh, yeah. We have already had about 125 of our homeowners pay off their mortgages.
Wow. Out of the 400
since
founding.
Out of the 400, yes.
That's incredible.
So, yes. And what a wonderful feeling for them, because a lot of them say when they do sign their mortgage that this is something that they want to be able to pass down to their children mm-hmm. once they've gone on. And so what a wonderful thing for them to pay off that mortgage, to be able to continue to live in the house, and to save that money that they were paying on their mortgage.
Now, Katrina was a turning point for the organization, as for many of us, most of us here in South Louisiana. What allowed us to really kick into the next gear, the number of houses and opportunities we were able to create?
Well, we had a tremendous influx of volunteers from all over the world, as well as funding from all over the world. We got donations from Qatar, other countries, just all over. And so that allowed us to build really quickly. And more importantly, it allowed us to build the infrastructure of the organization. Because when Katrina hit, we had about 5 employees besides myself. And so to build 46 houses in 1 year with 6 employees was just a real strain. So we were able to add more professional staff, and that really helped us increase our building capacity and helped us, you know, remain viable in the housing market.
Now, you all also focus not just on the builds that you're doing with the future homeowner and volunteers, but you've also had programs that have helped neighbors that are around. Talk to us about why it's important to also partner with those who are adjacent and going to be future neighbors of these new homeowners.
Right, because we just don't build a home. We're trying to build community. And so we're building brand new houses in neighborhoods that haven't seen a lot of development or any development in a really long time, and the current housing stock has, you know, diminished somewhat. So when we move into a new neighborhood where we've been able to acquire some empty property, we visit with the neighbors that live around there, and we do what we call critical home repairs, and that's where we help improve the health and safety of the home so that it can be viable for many years to come. And so we're building right now in the Richmond Park subdivision, and we have 6 houses, 3 on one side of the street and 3 on the other. And we've already done 3 critical home repairs for the neighbors surrounding those new houses. And we hope to do more. We will only work on houses that are owned by the person living in the house. Mm-hmm. So if it's a rental, we really don't have the opportunity to fix those up. That's incumbent on the landlord to make those improvements. But we are definitely want to and willing to work with the homeowners in the area.
So let's have a little real talk about the housing situation in mm-hmm. our community, particularly as we see that housing in certain neighborhoods, it looks very different than housing in others.
It does.
And It doesn't take long in driving through certain neighborhoods to see incredible blight,
yes,
which leads to this vicious cycle,
mm-hmm,
related to crime and, mm-hmm, and neglect. And you know, it's just terrifying for residents and families alike. What's kind of your perception of the housing challenges happening in different parts of our community?
Well, we think the best way to end blight is to put a new house on an empty lot, because then that eliminates the opportunity for people to dump. It also eliminates the opportunity for people to loiter and do things they shouldn't be doing. And we have in the past also torn down structures that have been condemned and then built a new house. And that makes a tremendous impact on that section of a street as well, when there isn't the opportunity for people to hang out in a structure like that. But I know in the neighborhoods we work in, it can get discouraging to see the state of housing that people are living in. And I think people would be very surprised that in the capital city of our state, that people are living in the circumstances that they are. And I think we all know that Florida Boulevard is that dividing line of our city. And if they went north of Florida Boulevard into some of those wonderfully old historic neighborhoods and saw the decay that is going on, that they would be more enthused about wanting to make affordable housing a priority for our community. And I think in addition to building houses, and, you know, our goal is to end poverty housing. So in addition to building houses, the purpose of our mission is also to bring people into those neighborhoods who would never have the opportunity to go into those neighborhoods before. But they volunteer with us through churches, through schools, through corporations, through small businesses, through civic organizations, and they go into the neighborhood to help swing a hammer, and they get to see firsthand what's going on in those neighborhoods, and it's eye-opening for a lot of people. So we're hoping that they'll become advocates, mm-hmm, for affordable housing, because that's what we need from the highest level of our government to the regular voter. We need people who are advocating for affordable housing in our area.
So this process of educating volunteers, talk to us about how you interact with volunteers. How do you recruit them?
Right.
What do you really need from those sets of volunteers, whether they be an organization or individuals wanting to participate?
Right. Well, we are so blessed by the Baton Rouge community and the generosity and the number of folks who volunteer to come out and work with us. And so every time we start a build day, I give a talk about the area that we're working in and what the impact of what they're doing is in that area and what the challenges that are faced in the area, hoping to make it a teachable moment so that people understand that it's not just about swinging the hammer, but it's really about learning and working alongside folks who just need someone to come in and, you know, give them a little boost. And so I think we've seen, especially when we have students, both high school and college students, that come to volunteer, that they learn so much from working alongside our partners who are working on their sweat equity or building their own home. And they learn all the things they have in common and then also the things that need to change to give everybody equitable housing.
Talk to us a little bit about some of these big ideas around creating more affordable housing in the city. I mean, you know, Habitat really, to me, is this great catalyst for educating and helping at the same time. But certainly, as you talked about, advocacy for,
right,
some bigger maybe policy change or activity.
What
are some of the ideas that could help make housing more affordable here in Baton Rouge and help eliminate blight that we've seen?
Well, I think one thing that is sorely needed that we began to work on after the flood, because I think 2016 exposed the crisis in affordable housing that most of us who work on the ground already knew, but it exposed it, mm-hmm, to a lot more folks. What we need is a comprehensive affordable housing plan for Greater Baton Rouge. We, you know, there are a lot of folks who are doing a piece of this, just like Habitat. We do our little piece, somebody else does their little piece, but we really need a comprehensive plan that then we can approach major funders with to say, this is our plan for the next 5, 10, 20 years to make affordable, equitable housing a reality in Baton Rouge. And if we had that plan with buy-in by the neighborhoods, buy-in by the nonprofits, the CDCs, by government, by corporations, by BRAF, by the Chamber, by the Wilson Foundation, all of those important organizations in our city, I think then we would all be working towards a common person. And, you know, as we say on the built site, many hands make light work. Mm-hmm. So if we could have those many hands focused in that one direction, it's no telling what we could accomplish.
Lynn, over the last few years, obviously, the pandemic has created challenges with supply chains. Now we see incredible inflation in cost of materials, even if you can get them on time.
Right.
Talk to us about some of the challenges today in executing your mission.
All of what you said are the challenges. A door, a window used to take a week, and now it's taking 4 months for us to get. And really, the biggest impact is the price. Before the pandemic, it cost about $90,000 to build a Habitat home. And today, it's costing over $130,000. So that's a $40,000 increase that we do not pass along to the homeowner because the house would then not be affordable. And so what that means is we're going to have to build less houses because we can't get the we don't have enough money to build more houses. And that's why we're, you know, adding more programs so we can help people in other ways. And the critical home repair is one of those, because instead of $130,000, we can spend $15,000, put a new roof on, replace rotted wood, repaint the exterior of a home, and make a dramatic difference in what that house looks like. So we're focused on doing more critical home repairs. We're also doing more educational programs, not just for our folks who are in our program, for community members as well. So financial literacy, home maintenance, those kinds of things. So looking at ways that we can make a broader difference for people who are struggling with housing.
You have been just an incredible leader in this community, and this year you've been named one of the winners of the John W. Barton Senior Excellence in Nonprofit Management Award. What does that mean to you? What does that mean for the organization?
Oh, it's incredible validation for Habitat and for the work that we've been doing since 1989. We were an outgrowth of the Federation of Churches and Synagogues, which is now the Interfaith Council. And so churches really were our, you know, basis, and we were an all-volunteer organization. And so incrementally, we've added professional staff and grown our mission. And so to think that what they started back then with just a handful of folks who had an idea about wanting to help people gain a simple, decent place to live has grown into an organization that's being recognized for excellence. It just means so much to all of the board members and staff members from the past and from today that we're getting that award. And it's really due to the almost 400 homeowners who have trusted us with their dream of home ownership. So I'm so grateful and just ecstatic.
What's next for your organization? I mean, again, coming out of the pandemic, but what do you, when you look to the next 5 to 10 years, where do you hope Habitat is here in Baton Rouge?
Well, certainly we want to build more houses, and we certainly want to do more critical home repairs, but we also want to be a stronger advocate for affordable and equitable housing. And so joining groups like the Housing First Alliance in Baton Rouge and also for Louisiana will mean a lot towards us being able to more dramatically impact affordable housing in our community. So we want to constantly advocate and work with other partners to make a more significant difference.
And Lynn, before we get out of here, how do you all think about the neighborhoods and the decisions about where you go? What makes those opportunities, specifically in identifying a site
right.
and a neighborhood, possible?
Yeah, where we can get land pretty much is a deciding factor. So we've been pretty aggressive in the adjudicated property arena, and we can do that because we do hold the mortgages, and we write into the mortgage if somebody does claim the property that will build the homeowner a house somewhere else. So we can provide that for them. But we're looking at infill, and we want to build in existing neighborhoods so that we can uplift that neighborhood and help those homeowners feel more secure in the community where they're living. So that's really important to us.
If resources weren't an issue, mm-hmm. I know they are, but if they weren't, how many houses could we be doing a year?
50. Our organization has set a goal of 50 houses. This year we'll do 12. So we're a long way from that goal. But, you know, when you think back to all of the challenges our community has faced with Hurricane Gustav, the flood of 2016, Hurricane Ida, the pandemic. I'm proud of the work that we have been able to accomplish. And we often say that our impact might be, 2 inches wide, but it's a mile deep, because we forever impact that family and, their children and grandchildren. But we'd like to be able to do a mile wide and 2 miles deep.
Well, I am confident that you will get to 50, and then set a different goal. Truly, Lynn, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and we're just so grateful for your leadership, and inspiring all of us here in the community. Many hands really do make light work, so we're so grateful for you.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
For more information about the work of Habitat for Humanity for Greater Baton Rouge, please visit habitatbrla.org. That's habitatbrla.org to learn more. As always, thank you for listening in. I'm your host, Chris Meyer, and our mission is to elevate the people, stories, and ideas making Baton Rouge a better place. To learn more about the Baton Rouge Area Foundation, please visit our website at braf.org and become a member today.